T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The question we're trying to ask you is, when does winning start to matter? Or when did it start to matter for you? When you were playing sports as a kid growing up, when did it go from, hey, this is fun, and you know, everybody gets an at-bat, and everybody plays the same amount of time, to holy blank, the blank is on, and it's completely different. Now, for example, Gov was mentioning before people started ripping me on Kirk Gibson, that your 7-year-old son is playing baseball, which with actually player pitch. And the goal of this is to, I would assume, have the kids learn to play the game, right?
Yes, that's the main, main goal, but we are introducing winning and losing.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Like, kids will get out. They'll go to the dugout.
Oh, that's
they'll
totally fine.
They'll be three
outs.
Yeah. I'll end the inning.
Yeah.
There's also eventually a limit, you know, if the inning goes
absolutely.
On and on.
Which I think is a good idea as well.
But we're not stressing that as the number one goal.
You want the kids to play and get experience, but you're also playing to succeed and win.
Right.
Right.
You want them to like whatever sport they're participating in. So
right.
You don't want to make it, you know, that cutthroat at that
right.
age.
Because, like, I've had this debate in the office because, like, you know, Evan and others have been riding me, like, about letting your kid win at something, okay? Like, for example, if you're a 7 or an 8-year-old and you're playing basketball, like, we'll play one-on-one in the driveway. There's times where, yeah, maybe I'll play the Ole defense. I'm not going to block his shot every single time.
Right.
Because what's the point of that?
I played my.
And I don't want to say for the record, I could. Okay.
Yeah.
I could dominate.
I played my daughter
dominate.
This weekend one-on-one, and she beat me. I let her. Like, I could have backed her down and, you know, and just taken her to the hole every time, but I didn't. It was more like outside shots.
Right.
But
what's the point of that? What's the point of backing her down?
I was defending her a little bit, but giving, and she was nailing them, so she beat me. Now
yeah.
I could have, you know, got in her face and, you know, just jumped and blocked every one of her shots.
Right. What's the point?
Exactly.
I've read articles about.
I was pissed that she beat me, but still.
Like Doug and Chris Collins, right? Chris is now the Northwestern coach, and Doug was the former Pistons coach. And Doug is legendarily competitive. And I've read articles that as a boy, he never let Chris win. Never. Never. And he made it so that beating his father would become the ultimate goal. And eventually it happened as Doug's body broke down and Chris became an elite youth basketball player. And look, the guy made it and played for Duke, got a 4-year scholarship. I don't think he ever played in the NBA. I think he may have gone to a training camp or two. And now he's a successful, you know, men's basketball coach. So they planted the seed of competitiveness, and it's driven him to great heights. Right?
Right. But
is that the right way to do it?
There's plenty of athletes who have that killer desire, though, and they weren't treated like that, but they were probably allowed to
win. But all the stories you hear are of them being treated like that, right? Like Tiger Woods and how Earl would jangle his keys, right, and throw his keys at Tiger when he was practicing to get him to be mentally tougher, because that's what everybody else was going to do to him when he got to the higher levels.
I think they need to learn how to lose early.
So they don't cry when they lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if you're playing, like little games like tic-tac-toe and stuff like that, I'll never let them win.
Never.
No.
No.
Board games, Candyland.
No. We play, and he has to deal with losing, and now he knows how to deal with that.
Yeah.
So he doesn't freak out now like he did when he was 4.
Well, the problem is it will be when your kids start playing against each other, because then some of them have to lose, and they really enjoy winning, and they really enjoy losing, and then it gets to be a pain in the butt. But what are you going to do? I mean, you're right. They do have to learn how to lose.
Have you witnessed a video game, like, anger or upsetness yet from your kid?
Yes.
They can be in the other room and you can hear them like, oh, come on,
yeah,
and stuff like that.
I'll tell you, the first video game system we ever got, we got a Xbox, and he got Madden for Christmas one year. I forget what year it was. And he played, like, you know, rookie level or whatever the easiest level is. And he played the entire Lions season. Okay.
Well, that was your first mistake.
As the Lions?
Oh, yeah. He's a Lions fan. He went 16-0. Okay.
Wow.
Got to the playoffs. Took him all the way to the Super Bowl, at which point he played Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl, and he lost in
SOL.
The Super Bowl. And he was so angry that he never really, he's gone back to the game, but not to the same passion. Like, he's never gone through that whole season again. He's never endeavored to win a championship again. Like,
so is he a different team next time he plays?
No, he just doesn't play much. And now he plays NBA 2K17. That's his new thing. He still play Madden occasionally, but he's never since played it with the same passion.
So do you think if his Lion team would have won that Super Bowl in Madden, he'd still be playing it?
Yeah, I do. I do.
See, he got burned. He put all that time and commitment into it, and then he lost. So, probably 30 hours of time, maybe?
He should play this year, though, because they have new uniforms.
Well, he doesn't have this year's game. Oh. So it hasn't come out yet, Stoney.
That's up to you.
Sure will.
That's up to you.
248, Santa Claus. 248-539-9797, ticket text 97136. Even if you're like a teenager, you're like a 20-year-old, when did you first remember it kicking in? Because even if they don't keep score, everybody keeps score. I mean, I remember the first experience I had, you know, with my daughter playing youth soccer. It was like, oh, we don't keep score. Yeah, you do. Everybody keeps score. Everybody knows the score. There's nothing wrong with winning and losing. Right. If anything, it goes, you can take that cut and put it head to head with my other cut where I say I'm not a big winning and losing guy. At what age does sports and winning and competitiveness really kick in for you, where you notice it go from, oh, it's just a neighborhood sport to, oh, it is on? From Matt, neighborhood sport my ass. Even as kids in our summer wiffle ball games, they were intense most time, playing till dark.
Yeah, everybody wants to win.
No, Matt, we're not talking about that. I mean, when you're playing with your brother or your buddies, yes, everybody wants to win. We're talking about if you're on like a youth soccer game team or baseball team. How about this? Basketball team. That's the best example for me, because basketball team, if the game's close with 2 minutes to go, at what age do you start sitting the worst players and putting in the best players?
That's the question.
Right? Because
the parents are the worst.
But most often, you know, like there's a rotation. And so, like, for example, my daughter's soccer team, it's like, okay, five new rows, you know, they're not setting the lineup. This year, my son played on an AAU basketball team. And the goal was to win the game.
Yeah.
You know, and look, the coach was great and every kid played. But the better kids played more. As they should. I had no problem with it.
At 10 and up, yes.
Yes. And it was my first experience where it really was, at the end of the game, it wasn't about getting snacks and juice boxes. It was about, we're going to win. And if we don't win, we're going to kind of be pissed off afterwards. And that's exactly what it was like.
Have you had to encounter any of your son's teammates' parents who bitched that their kid's not playing enough yet?
No. No, I have not. But then again, my kid's the best kid. So, I mean, I never had. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, in fact, that was, I think, I mean, I wasn't privy to all the conversations, but one of the points the coach made at the end of the basketball season was that we had a great group of kids and a great group of parents, and nobody really complained. And I think,
as long as coaches set the ground rules before the season, say, look, this is the goal. This is what we're going to do. You know, the best kids are going to play probably more. If you don't like that, especially if it's like a travel team, you know,
if you're playing travel sports, guess what? The best kids should play. That's the way it's supposed to be.
No problem. Don't pitch to the coaches. If you don't like it, you know, go play for another team. It's okay.
I think if you sign up for a community team, base team, whatever it is in your community,
rec team.
Then I do think there should be the playing time should be a little bit more equitable.
Well, I agree with you for the 7 and 8 year olds, but I think come 9, that's when you win.
Yeah.
You know, so the coach will make a decision. He'll set his roster. He'll put the positions. We're even employing a little bit of that now because you got to be, we want to get out, you know, you don't.
Right.
So we're going to let people take turns at first base here and there, but the best person's going to play first base the most.
Right.
Some. Right. So it's an introduction. If we were doing it every time, it would always be about winning.
Like when the kids start pitching, you don't want to put a poor kid out there who's not ready to pitch.
Exactly.
Because it becomes embarrassing to him. And quite honestly, it becomes embarrassing to the parents because you're suffering watching your kid struggle out there in whatever sport he's playing. But at the same time, every kid does want to pitch. Every kid thinks they can pitch because they watch Verlander and they watch Fulmer and they think, hey, I could do that. So you do want to give them the chance. I mean, that's where I'd have a hard time. And I don't know. Well, I don't know what the age is. I really don't exactly.
Well,
I mean, maybe it's 9 or 10.
Well, it comes to pitching. You can tell if you have practices. If your kid can't get the ball over the plate, why are you putting him on the mound?
Bingo. And last night, so we had 3 different catchers.
You talking about Sanchez?
We had 3 different kids that play catcher. And they get on the equipment and everything. So then we go home and Connor's like, can I play catcher next time? And I said, I had to explain to him, we need to work on regular catching first. Because he's not very good at that yet.
But at that age, though, catcher is a somebody said to me, and it's a great that is the position of retriever. The catcher in like seven-year-old baseball doesn't catch the ball; they retrieve the ball.
Most of the time,
pick it up, and throw it back to the pitcher. And usually, then it goes past the pitcher towards second base, and either the shortstop or second baseman picks it up. Right?
I can't wait for Tom's Sunday lineups that he puts out there.
Yeah. That'll be very good. Some other ticket texts. Kobe Bryant was an assassin and didn't take losing lightly.
Oh, okay. Maybe at 7 years old he did.
Well, no, but see, these are the stories that I'm curious about. Is the guys like Kobe and Jordan and LeBron, these legendarily competitive guys, and how they were treated from an early age? Because, you know, for every story you read about, you know, I mentioned Doug Collins or Earl Woods, or I don't know what kind of a father Belly or Jelly Bean Bryant was to Kobe. But then you hear the stories of like Marv Marinovich or whatever, where, you know, if Todd Marinovich had turned out to be the greatest quarterback in NFL history, Marv would be hailed as a genius. But instead, he is the poster boy for bad parenting and being too harsh on your kids. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the other thing with the winning and losing too at this age between 7 and 8, I noticed that tremendous difference in talent. I know you said that between the 7 and the 8 year olds, and you said that's constant.
Every year you look at the kids who are a year older and you're like, wow, they're much bigger.
But the thing is that with the 7 year olds still, there are still some that can't do the basics. You know, versus the 8 year olds are at least understand where to throw at the first base.
Yeah.
You know,
like the actual rules of the game.
Yeah. We think with the winning and losing thing that if we put a stress on that the 8 year olds will get mad at the 7 year olds because they're weighing the team down.
You don't want
that. That's true.
No. You don't want that. You definitely don't want that. Winning always matters. I learned by playing kids bigger, faster, and stronger. If you play to have fun, you aren't that good. And that sounds harsh, but I think there's truth to that.
Except at what age, though, does that change? I agree with that, but at 6 and 7, because kids are playing more organized sports earlier and earlier than they ever did before, and winning can't be the most important thing for a 6 and 7 year old.
I don't think there's a specific age, right? I think it's whatever age is right for your family, you know, or right for your kid or whatever. I think some kids deal with it better than others. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the exact right answer is.
You don't want to make them not like the sport either because of winning and losing. Like some kids, it'll click at 8 or 9 versus others are good at 6.
And you have to, if you go outside of your league, you have to make sure the competition level is somewhat equitable. Because I remember my kids, they played basketball 1 year. And they thought they were okay. Then they played a couple teams that were just, I mean, the scores were like 70-4. And it was like, it was so discouraging that they didn't want to play because they were getting their ass kicked.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the problem.
I forget if I told the story on the air, but the first tournament I went to with my son for this basketball thing, some guy sidles up to me and he starts talking to me about, you know, this whole AAU thing. Oh, yeah, you know, you got a good coach. Blah, 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 blah. You'll probably play in the Spartan Clash. And I said, I don't even know what that is. What's the Spartan Clash? And I assume it's at Michigan State. Oh, yeah, it's at Michigan State. It's blah, blah, blah. You'll see LeBron there. And I said, what? He goes, you'll see LeBron there. And I said, LeBron James? He goes, yeah, his kid plays in that. Your son will probably play against him. I'm like, I'm sorry. Are you telling me my son's going to play a game against LeBron James' son? And you guys have seen these YouTube videos,
he's
right?
Unbelievable.
His kids, I mean, he's ridiculous. And it turns out we didn't play in the Spartan Clash, and I think LeBron's kid's actually 2 years older than. But I mean, it's not even different planes; they're on different mountains. You know what I mean? Like it's ridiculous. So I was like, I'm in the wrong. This is not the right league. I don't know. And it turned out to not be quite that dramatic. But I remember that was my first taste of it, and I was like, holy.
Isn't it?
Jeez.
So that when you get involved with something, you're kidding, and it's intimidating, like intimidation guy comes, like,
yes.
He knows like the league, like the back of his hand.
He knew everybody, everything, everybody, yeah. I was like
whoa, dude, we just got here. Chill.
Oh, I know. I'm like, I just want to learn the offense or something like that. It's Jamie and Stoney, 97, won the ticket.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.